Psychologists will tell you that people often fall victim to faulty thinking that goes something like this. It hasn't happened, so it won't. Put another way, it can't happen to me. But the reality is, just because an event hasn't occurred yet, in no way means it can't. The coronavirus pandemic is a great case in point. Today, host Rob West speaks with Howard Dayton about preparing for the next crisis. Then he answers your financial questions, but don't call because today's program is pre-recorded. I'm Steve Moore, the Crisis Budget. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Rob, Howard Dayton is the founder of Compass, Finances God's Way, and the original host of this very program.
That's right.
I don't know if Howard was a Boy Scout, but he certainly adopted their motto of be prepared.
No doubt about that, Steve. Howard, welcome back to MoneyWise Live.
It's great to be with you, Rob, and that's a Boy Scout's honor. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Howard, as you know, we've developed what we call the Mayday Budget to help folks who've already experienced a financial calamity. But today, you want to talk about a different approach to financial preparation. I'd love for you to dive in and tell us about that.
Sure thing, Rob. And by the way, the Mayday Budget is a terrific tool. I'm just so delighted that it's available to folks. Well, as Steve mentioned, it's what we call the crisis budget. And really, it's more about planning for a financial crisis than reacting to one. And I'd love to set this up by just telling you a story.
Great.
I've been blessed to sit on a life insurance company board of directors for almost 20 years. It's closely associated with a bank holding company. So when COVID-19, when that pandemic hit, the board and the executive team decided to start meeting once a week to work through the challenges that we were facing. And about once a month, we invite someone from the outside to share what they're doing to address the pandemic. We ask them their view of the financial future. And last month, we invited the CEO of a large $30 billion bank. He's a deeply committed follower of Christ, a very bright guy. And he started sharing by telling us something that just blew me away. He told us that they had developed a pandemic disease plan 12 years ago.
Wow.
And that every year they would break it out, review the plan, update it, improve it. So when COVID-19 hit, they simply worked the plan. They'd already been prepared.
Yes.
Now, he said there were some issues such as social distancing and sequestering that they hadn't factored into the plan, but they'd already decided on the majority of the major steps that they needed to take. And the bank hasn't missed a beat. Let me give you an example. In terms of serving their customers, they've personally contacted more than 100,000 of their customers to learn how they could better serve them during this time.
That's incredible to think that he had had the foresight to develop that plan so far in advance. And Howard, as you know, it really underscores the importance of planning. And knowing the rest of the story, I know that as that bank manager related the story, it started to sound a bit familiar to you, didn't it?
Yes, it did, Rob. As he was sharing, it struck me about 10 years ago, Compass developed what we call the crisis budget, both for individuals or married couples. And the crisis budget is to be developed, guess what, before a crisis occurs, before a job loss, serious illness, pandemic, you name it. And here's the objective of the crisis budget. It's to help you make decisions now about how you're going to reduce your total spending so you'll be in a better position to survive the crisis.
Yes.
That's the real thought and thinking behind it.
No question about it. And obviously, the notion behind this type of preparation comes right out of God's Word. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the details of how you can prepare your own crisis budget and the biblical foundation for it, all that right around the corner.
That's right. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're blessed to have Howard Dayton joining us today, author, teacher, and the founder of Compass Finances God's Way, also the former host of this program. I don't know what he does in his spare time. We'll be right back with more after this.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
You probably haven't been to a junkyard lately, have you? A junkyard isn't scrap engines and transmissions and tires like you might think. It's really potential, waiting for the right opportunity. It's a headlight or a carburetor that could replace a broken one. You know, it's the same with people. Problems and stresses and situations break us down, add extra mileage, and wear us out. God is there, however, to salvage us, recycle us, and give us new life. God's repair manual says we need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. He crushed death to take away the penalty of our sin and give us new life. Life with Jesus is fresh and positive because the broken has been replaced by the new. God,
if the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Good to have you with us today. We're discussing something called the crisis budget, which is something that certainly applies for all of us right now. Helping us work through this is none other than Howard Dayton, the former host of this very radio program. Rob?
Howard, I appreciate the story you were sharing about this bank president who actually thought 12 years ago about his pandemic disease plan. What foresight. And I know you have worked up something similar, you and the team at Compass Finances God's Way, years ago. And the idea of planning in advance has some real benefits and advantages. Talk about those.
Yeah, Rob, there are advantages. I mean, it's just more than getting the budget done. You can do it before the crisis, and you're not stressed out. You're not under the pressure of making quick decisions without really talking it through, thinking it through on how to cut back. And when you're doing it in advance of a crisis, you can take your time. If you're married, you and your spouse can be praying about the decisions that you'll want to make. You want to hear from the Lord. Your spouse and you can discuss and maybe even do a little negotiating in a very relaxed way. You know, the husband can say, well, I'll give up my weekly golf game with my buddies. And she'll say, well, okay, I'll give up my bowling with my friends. I mean, it's a lot less stressful. It's a lot less pressure because you're not faced with the actual crisis. You're making those decisions so that when a crisis hits, you can immediately go ahead and institute your plan.
Yeah.
You've agreed on it. If you're not married, you might have a friend who also works on one as well to help hold you accountable. And I do think, just like that bank CEO, that it's wise to pull it out of the drawer, put it down to your calendar every year just to review it.
Yes.
What's changed in your financial life or your personal life that you might want to move some things around? And guess what? When a crisis hits, you can immediately work the plan.
Well, and that's what's so key, is to have it at the ready and something that is being updated, as you said. So when the unexpected comes, and we know that it will, we can implement a plan that's been well thought through. And as you said, without the emotion. At the heart of this, Howard, is the ability to really dial back spending. What is it about developing a crisis budget well in advance of an event like you're describing? What is it about that that can actually reveal weaknesses in your financial picture?
This has been the biggest and most pleasant surprise to me, Rob, in terms of the benefits of doing this before the crisis hits. And that is that many folks who've gone through and developed their crisis budget, they realize that the only way to really reduce enough, and we encourage folks to think about the crisis budget just as a bogey, if you will, a 15 or 20% reduction of their spending, they understood that to achieve that, they really had to get really serious about their current financial decisions. Some have focused on paying off their credit card debt or auto debt or some other kind of debt, and it's also motivated them to be more faithful and more consistent in their saving and even in their giving, recognizing that it's the Lord who ultimately is going to have to protect and provide. We're in the middle of a crisis. But I love the fact that it's helped to motivate people to be more faithful today.
Yes.
In working their plan to become faithful, really, with the resources the Lord's entrusted to them.
Howard, as you know, we always tell people that the optimum, the very best goal to shoot for in preparation is to have 3 to 6 months of spending already prepared in advance in a savings account, even though it may take a while to get there. That would be best, to have 3 to 6 months of living expenses just in case. Now, as we're talking about something greater, a crisis budget, does that mean that we just have a different plan, or does that also mean that we have to actually save up more money? Because I can imagine some people saying, I can't save more money.
Yeah, I think it really motivates people, Steve, just to be more faithful in terms of their financial decisions, to take a harder look at what they're spending, you know, just to plan ahead. And, you know, if they pay off their credit card debts and their car loans and they've got those paid for, then they're in a position to be more generous and also be more faithful on the saving side. That's what's really encouraged us to see.
And in a family situation, this really has to do with strategy and agreement between the spouses. And, you know, we realize this may never happen, but if it does, here's what we've decided well in advance. It may hurt a little bit, but we've decided it together and it's on paper. We know where we're headed, right?
I think it's just like that bank CEO. I mean, I'm sure that they've had some cutbacks with some of their staff or furloughs, but the bank is more than surviving. It's in good shape, and the same's true for a family.
Yeah.
There are difficult choices to make in terms of our spending, but there's the blessing of having stability. And that translates over to the husband and wife drawing closer together as they talk about the things that are really important to them and what are they going to cut back on, what are they going to continue doing, because you're learning more about your spouse.
Yeah. Howard, you talked about the giving side of this, and here's what I love. You know, during a crisis, especially like the one we've just experienced, and who knows what is coming in the days ahead, that's the opportunity where the church needs to step up to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So by having this plan and being able to continue to give or even do more, that's the time you want to be able to do that. And unfortunately, because people don't plan, often they're going the other direction, right?
That's exactly right. It's a challenge, Rob, as you well know, for many churches, for many ministries, when God's people are in a position where they don't give.
And I
love the story of the prophet Agabus in Acts, where he prophesizes that there's a worldwide famine coming, which happened during the reign of Claudius, it tells us. And the first thing that the people did that heard, you know, that there was a worldwide famine coming was to take out their checkbooks and give as they were able to help the brethren in Judea. And that really is just a great picture. Doesn't matter if it's a worldwide famine coming up, and this is basically a worldwide famine affecting so many people around the globe, that God's people should be generous. And if we work the plan, we'll be in a position to do that.
Well, and God's word is clear, as you know, Howard, that our future while on earth is uncertain, Ecclesiastes 11:2, for you do not know what misfortune may occur upon the earth, and that's precisely why, as stewards, we need to be well planned. Howard Dayton, always good to have you, my friend. So thankful for you.
Oh, great to be with you, Rob, and you as well, Steve.
Thanks very much, Howard. God bless you. And we'll have a link in today's show notes where you can download the Compass Crisis Budget Worksheet absolutely free. Just visit moneywiselive.org. That's moneywiselive.org. And we'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Why suffering exists in as basic a form and as simplistically as we can possibly see, back up to 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. All right, I want you to think in terms, we talked just a little bit about inheritance, about understanding that we have an inheritance we're coming into. Some of that inheritance we receive as we are in our own place of promise, as we fulfill what God has spoken over our lives in earthward terms. God has a calling on every single one of your lives. God has a calling on my life. And we, to some degree, fulfill part of that inheritance on this planet as we walk in that promise. Every time we receive a promise of God, every time we go stand in that land and we cross that river of fear, remember how we talked about this? And whatever our calling is, it is on that land on the other side of the river of our fear. So we're going to have some wet feet and splash in that river to get where we're going, because we are not going to ever walk in the fullness of our calling in the places we are most comfortable. It's always going to involve making a choice between fear and obedience every single time.
Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. That other guy over there, the guy with the answers, he's Rob West, and we're happy to have you with us on the program today. However, we are pre-recorded. We won't be taking your calls, but we've lined up some calls in advance that I think you'll find very practical. At least we've tried to make them that way. So stick around. Let's go directly to our phones. Hey, Ann, how can we help you?
A few weeks ago, you had a gentleman on, which I didn't catch his name. I think the first name was Mark.
Mike, okay.
You were discussing life insurance beneficiaries, and he said there was a certain word that you needed in your life insurance policy so that if you put your three children down and one of them passed away before the policy, you know, before we did, that word needed to be in the beneficiary for that those grandchildren from that deceased child. Would not receive their share. It would be split between the other children. Am I correct in what I'm saying to you?
You are exactly right, and you are a great student, Anne, because you're describing it perfectly. His name was Mike Miller. He's out of Greenville. He's a certified Kingdom advisor, a blogger. He also has his own radio program, joins us here periodically. But what you're talking about is very important, and this is the term per stirpes. And it's a legal term that's intended to make sure that children inherit in the place of a deceased parent. But over the years, there have been many lawsuits surrounding the term with varying results. But that's the term that he was talking about. And you want to always get legal counsel here. But it's an important reminder to check your beneficiaries, make sure they're up to date because our circumstances and situations change as we age. And you always want to use a competent estate planning attorney to make sure you're well prepared with everything from your will to your beneficiary designations, including things like living wills and healthcare surrogates, and if you need them, powers of attorney, a durable power of attorney. But I think it's really important. The term means by branch in Latin, interestingly. And if you want to get the full download on it, again, go to moneywiselive.org and just search for Don't Disinherit Your Grandchildren. And Mike does a great job explaining it all.
Okay, give me that word again, and please even spell it for me.
Yes, ma'am. Per stirpes, P-E-R, per stirpes, S-T-I-R-P-E-S. And again, make sure you always update this information in the context of getting sound professional counsel. In this case, it would be from an attorney, but that's the idea behind it. And you want to just make sure you're applying it appropriately to your situation.
And does that help?
Yes, that helps. I don't have a computer, but I'm going to find somebody with one so I can listen to this program again and give this information to. I mentioned it to my sister and a couple other people, and I couldn't remember this word, preserve. How did you pronounce it?
Per-stirpes.
Anyways, I couldn't remember that word, and I said, it needs to be in there. And they said, what are you talking about? And one person disagreed with me, and I said, I have to find out more about it. So thank you for that information.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Anne. We appreciate that. Thanks. Stirpes is also one of the moons that revolves around Jupiter being the largest planet.
No, I don't think so.
Idaho, Sarah, do they grow potatoes where you are, Sarah, or is that just a portion of Idaho?
Well, both. We do grow potatoes up here, but it's just a small portion of the state, too, where I'm from.
All right. Well, I'm sure Idaho is much more than just potatoes, so I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but how can we help you today?
I'm calling today for a friend who is in his late 30s, and he was asking my husband and I what the best thing to do is. He has credit card debt that's about $18,000, and he has one, it's all on credit cards, and I think he's accumulated that in just the last 2 years. But he has one card that is 0% interest for a an extended time, and the others are really high interest. So he was wondering, should he consolidate them, turn everything over to the 0%, or I got the mushroom effect? I don't know. You know, so that's why I'm calling. What's your advice for him?
Yeah, Sarah, I appreciate the question. You know, I'm not a fan of playing what I call the balance transfer game. I mean, there are plenty of credit cards, assuming you have decent credit or pretty good credit. There are plenty of credit cards that would be happy to allow you to open a card and give you 0% for probably up to 18 months. You would have to pay a fee on that, usually about 3% of the balance, and that's the way they make sure that they're going to get paid something, even if you pay it off in full or transfer it out before the 18 months is up. But it does a couple of things. Number one, I don't like paying that fee. Number two, it's going to take the pressure off, which in most cases causes the individual not to focus on paying it off because they know in the back of their mind, well, I'm not paying any interest, so they just keep spending. And oftentimes the problem that got them into debt in the first place hasn't been solved. Remember, this debt is symptomatic of usually, not in every case, there may have been a real hardship, but usually it's just consumptive spending beyond your income. And so what I would prefer that your friend do here, Sarah, would be one of two things. Number one, I'd have them contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. ChristianCreditCounselors.org, they would explore a debt management program, which would basically involve the card or cards being closed. He could keep one card out of it if he has one with no balance or he wants to open one because he wants to continue to have access to a credit card. And then the ones that are closed would be moved into the debt management program. That's not in and of itself a part of the credit scoring formula, so it wouldn't automatically hurt his credit, although it would reduce the overall credit that's available to him, which may push his utilization up. That's going to give him a lower interest rate, helping to pay that off 80% faster. The second option is to snowball it. Take smallest balance to largest and just keep lifestyle low and throw every available dollar beyond the minimum payment at the smallest balance and then move right down the line.
And Sarah, we're going to have to let you go on that. We have to hit a break, but we hope that helps you and your friend. Thanks so much. Hey, you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but we have some calls lined up and some great information coming your way that I think you'll find usable at the very, very least. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week for Father's Day is found in Genesis 18:19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. That's Genesis 18:19, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
We've all been hurt. We've all hurt others. That's why forgiveness is critical for our spiritual and emotional well-being. But how do you forgive when it's hard? In Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Gil Mertz shares his inspiring story of forgiving his difficult and distant father and lays out a practical, biblical process of forgiveness. Learn to forgive and be set free. Forgive Your Way to Freedom. More at moodypublishers.com.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Big news today in Atlanta. The county district attorney, Paul Howard Jr., announcing 11 charges will be filed against Officer Garrett Rolfe, including one for felony murder for the shooting of Rayshard Brooks after a confrontation at a Wendy's drive-thru. He also announced that one of the officers involved will testify against Rolfe. Senate Republicans on Capitol Hill today took the wraps off of their own proposals for police reform. Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina leading the charge for the Republicans. He says the bill called the Justice Act sends a right message to African Americans. The Justice Act is considered the most ambitious GOP policing proposal in years. It's a direct response to the massive public demonstrations over the death of George Floyd and other black Americans. On Wall Street at the close, the Dow was down 170 points. This is SRN News.
Happy to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Don't forget, you can check us out online, moneywiselive.org. You'll find links to free resources at that website, budget templates, things like that, also archives to past programs, and links to finding a certified Kingdom advisor in your area in multiple disciplines, and how to connect with a budget coach at no charge, moneywiselive.org. St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Greg. What's on your mind, sir?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking our call. My wife and I have been just discussing in regard to strategies in regard to funding our Kingdom account. We have a Kingdom a donor fund, and I'm 64. I've got a pension approaching Social Security, and we have. The question is really taking we're trying to get a strategy to start to take out of my retirement account that I have and start moving it towards the Kingdom. So we have some opportunity for that now. We're looking at around a $10,000 investment into a donor account. And the question came up, well, we also have a line of credit that is, I think it's about a point over prime or that, around 3.5. So there's taxes, obviously, if I take it out of the IRA, I would pay on, and then, I can either do it through the, and we could pay off the line of credit, I think, in that amount in a single year, but somewhat looking at moving some of the money from the IRA in more into Kingdom use.
Yeah. Very good. Well, first of all, I love the fact that you called your donor advised fund our Kingdom account. I think that's great. For the benefit of our listeners, a donor advised fund, think of it like a charitable checking account where essentially you put assets into it. It could be cash, stocks, business interest, real estate. It's then perhaps converted to cash, and then you get the deduction in the year of the contribution one time for whatever amount you put in over the year, and then you're able to distribute that as you would like to qualified charities, not-for-profits, be it your church or any other ministry, and you can do that quick and easy online. Greg, because you have an IRA, you've got a couple of options. You can do a qualified charitable distribution directly from the IRA once you are 70 and a half. But for the meantime, you would have to take a distribution from these retirement accounts and then recognize that as income and then make the gift. So I'm assuming you have excess that's built up in these IRAs, and so you're just looking for the best way to go about this. Are you trying to determine the timing of paying off the line of credit versus the additional giving you want to do, or what is the main question at this point?
I think it's which is my wife was concerned about paying the taxes, which I knew you know, because before 70 and a half, or would it be better for us just to go ahead and pay the interest? You know, we pay it all on a monthly, you know, process, but we would have, there would be interest on that. And I don't like paying interest, and I don't, you know, so we are kind of in a debate. Is it the, the line of credit, or do we do a strategy and start going from the IRA into our Kingdom account?
Got it. And what is the amount of the line of credit at this point?
Yeah, we just purchased a car, and we're, we've got about $15,000 in it, and that was, we'll have that paid off, you know, within the, you know, less than a year, is what I have on a line of credit currently.
Okay. And what were you looking to give over the next 12 months out of the, the IRA?
Yeah, about 10,000.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think it's really a conviction for you all to think through, pray through. I kind of like the idea of you getting money working in the kingdom sooner rather than later. And so you all have managed your money wisely. And so, you know, you saying I'm going to pay a little bit of interest so I can accelerate this gift, I think that's a great idea. But if you said, you know what, we just would rather be debt free, even though it's a relatively small amount of debt, we're paying a little bit of interest, we'd like to just go ahead and knock that out. That's going to then free up even more money that perhaps we could do some additional giving both now and in the future. You know, that would certainly be a viable approach. So I don't think it's a right or wrong decision here. It's really just a matter, Greg, of you and your wife praying through it, asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? Pray James 1:5, ask for wisdom, and then make the best decision you can. But given the way you guys have handled your finances to this point, I don't think you can make a wrong decision here.
Greg, thank you very much. We appreciate that call today, and I think we have time for one more. It would be Bob in Chicago. Rob?
Very good, Bob. Thanks for your call today. How can we help?
Well, God bless you, brother, for your ministry. Yes, you. I'm a missionary, semi-retired. I live on my Social Security, which isn't a lot. I'm 80 in my 80s now. So I'm not going out and do anything terribly big to raise a lot of money financially, you know, job-wise.
Yes.
But anyhow, I've had a good credit record, and but up in the past 6 months, the past three to four months, I've gotten in some difficulty in that I've been going over my credit limit. My brother, my younger brother, has a fatal disease. He's not going to last much longer, and I've had to travel and be helpful in that regard financially. So what's happened is I always pay off my credit card accounts, that type of thing, in advance during the year. But I've gotten to the point where I've maxed out my accounts while I'm taking care of these short-term issues. And I'm going over my interest rate on the cards has taken me over the limit. And I'm looking to figure out how to back that up so that I don't go over my credit limit, because that is, as I understand it, detrimental to me maintaining a good credit rating.
Yeah. Well, it is, in the sense that you not only are with the over limit fees that you're going to be paying, the extent to which your total debt is greater than 30% of the available credit you have to you across all of your accounts, it's going to begin to reduce your credit score. But that's not my primary concern. I think the key for me would be, what can you do to begin getting these balances down so we can get you out of debt completely so you're not paying all this interest? That's the bigger concern to me than your credit rating. What is your plan at this point to begin to get this these debt balances moving in the right direction?
I said I'm in my 80s now,
yeah,
and I'm not really in the greatest of health myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to run out, and I mean, I'm a missionary.
Yeah.
I'm an independent missionary at this point in my career.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going out and doing a lot of fancy things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down to basics, so to speak.
Sure. Well, here's what I would do. Unfortunately, we've got to head to a break here. I would encourage you, Bob, to visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. What they're going to do is they're going to perhaps look at whether it would make sense for you to put these into a credit counseling program. Now, any of the accounts you do that with, they're going to need to be closed, okay? But what's going to happen is those over-limit fees are going to stop immediately. The interest rate's going to be reduced. You're going to be able to pay that off with one payment a month and pay it off 80% faster. Start there, and then let's see if we can get you moving in the right direction. If you have further questions after you talk to them, give us a call, ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and then call us back after that.
Bob, we wish you and your brother the very best. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. If you're like most Christians, you know something's missing in your life, but have no idea what it is. You're not experiencing the joy of the Lord as a source of your strength. Your relationship with God is distant, and you're walking through life without a bounce in your step. The good news is that you can change your world in a nanosecond. God's purpose for coming to earth was to seek and save the lost. And when you make His purpose your purpose, it injects purpose into everything you do, every moment of the day, from beginning to end. Every day becomes an adventure and a marvel as God makes the unexpected a normal occurrence, continually connecting you with people for you to lead to Him. And that will put a bounce in your step. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Is there a pattern for revival? By May 1859, the whole of Northern Ireland was being touched by revival, and newspaper headlines told of the work of God in revival. Belfast was so affected that the churches called for a joint meeting. Ministers and laymen gathered together. Prayer meetings attracted more than 20,000 people. People were converted, and within 6 months, over 100,000 people came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all started when a man saw the need, expressed his faith even a covenant-keeping God, humbled himself and called others together and prayed. And could you not have such a revival today? So let us repent together. Recognize the need of the hour, evaluate the situation, pray for revival, others to be encouraged to pray with us, to narrow our vision and take God at His word. God is looking for a man that can see the need and respond to that. Are you that man? I'm Francois Carr, Executive Director of Heart Cries of Africa for OneCry.com.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West, except we're not exactly live today. In fact, we really are not live today. We're pre-recorded, but we have some callers all lined up in advance, and I think you'll find their questions interesting and informative as well. So let's continue, Rob. Peoria, Illinois, let's say hi to Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. We're so glad to have you on MoneyWise Live. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm starting a new job, and they're offering a 6% matching gift, and they're also offering company stock at a $15 discount.
Uh-huh.
That does pay dividends.
Very good. Okay, so you're wondering what to take advantage of there?
Yeah. My last company, I was able to put 20% aside, and then with the matching 6%, it wound up being like a quarter of my salary mm-hmm. going to 401k. But I've also heard on other radio shows where, well, if you have outstanding debt, you probably should pay that off first before taking advantage of some of these other options.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always important to make decisions like this, Wayne, in light of your overall goals and objectives. We don't want to just save for saving's sake. We really want to have a plan. We want to prayerfully consider what are the goals that we have moving forward, both in the area of giving as well as lifestyle, and ultimately, what are we saving for? We want to be able to provide for ourselves and our family during a season where we might redirect our time and energy to serving the Lord in other ways. There may come a day where you can't work or you just want to slow down, and certainly you need to have the resources at that point to support yourself. At the same time, I think we can over-accumulate, which is why it's really important that we set what I call a financial finish line, really answering the question, how much is enough? Tell me about the process you've worked through either on your own or with a financial advisor to define some of these goals and objectives. And if you have them, how do you feel like you're doing with what you've accumulated so far?
I think I'm doing good. I owe about $30,000 in charge cards and $5,000 in medical. But I have very low overhead because I moved in with my older parent who will be taking care of.
Okay.
So we're sharing expenses.
Very
good. Hopefully in 2 years they'll be able to have everything paid off.
Okay. And how much do you have accumulated in retirement accounts to this point?
About $600,000.
Okay. And how long do you plan to continue to work, especially given the care that you'll be providing for your parents?
Hopefully 70. She's actually still working, so
okay.
At 77.
Okay. So you anticipate continuing to work perhaps even for as many as 20 more years?
If possible, Lord willing, yes.
Okay, very good. All right, and have you done some projections just to understand what perhaps your retirement savings goal is, so you can evaluate with your current savings of around $600,000 what you might have when you get to that point if you continue accumulating, and what your target is?
Hopefully a million by then, but...
Sure. Well, and I think the key is to really bring some definition around what is that goal, not just how many zeros would make me feel good or give me peace of mind, and that's certainly part of it. But what is that income I'm trying to generate to support the lifestyle I've been called to, and what guaranteed income sources might I have? And it may be only Social Security, but you could factor that in and then say, is the current trajectory I'm on going to give me the resources that I could then draw an income off of to support my lifestyle at that point, or will I have over-accumulated if I stay on this path? And so perhaps visiting with a retirement planner who could not try to sell you something, but where you could buy a few hours of their time to do a plan like I'm describing would give you some real goals and objectives that you're shooting for. And rather than just saying, I'm going to save as much as I can, you know exactly what you're trying to put aside each year, and then you can evaluate your progress along the way. In terms of these new options that you have, we certainly think it makes a lot of sense to take advantage of any matching dollars, both on the 401k plan as well as the stock options, because that's just free money. And so I think that's a great opportunity. But contributing beyond that, especially with credit card and medical debt, I'd rather see you focus on paying that off quicker, even if that means perhaps redirecting some money you had intended to put away in some of these company-sponsored plans or opportunities to eradicate that debt in full. And then at that point, evaluating again, how much do we want to then begin putting in addition to any matching dollars into those retirement accounts. So that would be my first priority at this point. Number one, doing some retirement planning so you have some finish lines in mind and you know how you're progressing toward them. And then number two, let's focus on paying off that debt sooner rather than later. And then I think your third option is then saying, okay, with this additional money, the excess that I have because I have low expenses and with now not having to service the debt, how much do I want to redirect into long-term savings versus perhaps other things, including perhaps additional giving? Does that all make sense?
It certainly does. Thank
Good.
You.
All right, Wayne. Well, thank you for calling today. We appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Wayne. Let's go west a bit, actually west quite a bit. Delta Junction, Alaska. Michael, what's going on up there? How can we help you?
Good morning, in Alaska time. It's morning here.
Yes.
And thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I just had a question. I own my property. It's totally debt-free. And I was curious about taking out some loans, both the unsecured and secured loans. Secured loans, I'd have to put my property up for collateral. And the amount I would be looking for in this loan would be anywhere from $17,000 to $25,000, anywhere from a 7 to 10 year time frame. So because, and I'm considering this option because the tax credits will expire at the end of 2019 to take advantage of that 30% tax credit.
Are you talking about solar for the tax credit, Michael?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
So my question is, you know, what would you recommend or what would you suggest, the secured, unsecured, since the property is debt-free and I own it free and clear, versus unsecured? And yes, there is quite a considerable difference in the interest rate on secured versus unsecured.
Well, my first question to you, Michael, would be what due diligence have you done to really prove out the benefit you're going to realize? And generally, you'd look at it over a 20-year period, which is how most people evaluate it, in terms of the benefit you'll receive by moving to solar. I realize that we've got currently a 30% tax credit that's available through this year. I think it drops to 26% next year in 2020 and then continues to drop after that. So, you know, have you looked at what the savings might be after that tax credit when you factor in your current electric bills, you factor in the cost of the installation and the panels, you evaluate your sunlight exposure and the opportunities you have there in Alaska? What do you know about the benefits you might experience?
So I have evaluated a number of those options you mentioned. However, though, the property I live at, there is no power there. The nearest power pole is about 28 miles, and it's quite costly to run power up to the property, thus the consideration for solar power. Right now, we kind of just use a generator to 3-4 hours a day just to get our refrigerator, you know, keep the temperature down in our refrigerator. That's pretty much in our lights. We have some lights, but we're considering expanding, you know, in terms of our electric usage. That's why I'm considering the solar power option.
Yes.
And you know, here in Alaska in the wintertime, we do, and I did take that into consideration, we might on a good day get 4 hours of sunlight in the wintertime.
Sure.
Thus, I have a generator for backup from the battery capacity. And in this solar system design, I have included for wintertime, an increased battery capacity, so that four-hour window won't have a huge impact. It'll have some, but not a huge impact.
Very good.
That's why it's such a costly loan amount. Like I said, $17,000 to $25,000, because the battery is quite costly portion of the system.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Well, obviously, you're in a different situation needing to bring power to the property as opposed to just trying to switch from electricity over to solar for a savings purposes. So it makes a lot of sense, and you've obviously done your homework. Tell me about the difference in the interest rates that you're seeing from the secured to the unsecured options.
Well, depending on the lender, it goes anyway. And I might add that I've been debt-free for about 15, 17 years until recently. I had an unfortunate accident and I had to purchase a new vehicle. So I now have some debt, which I plan on getting out of very quickly. And because of that, and I found out because when I had to go get a new vehicle, that because I've been debt-free, that the interest rate tends to be higher because there's no record, you know, in terms of the lender perspective, like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you could be able to pay, even though I have a full-time job. They have no credit history.
Yes.
And it always comes back insufficient credit history.
Right. Well, and the amount you're looking to borrow is obviously below the threshold of what you might be able to get in the way of a mortgage with the most competitive rates. So the small amount plus the lack of credit history, I can certainly understand that's working against you. I think given everything I'm hearing, Michael, I'd be more comfortable with you taking the secured loan. You've obviously purposed yourself to live within your means. You've been committed to being debt-free, and you have been for a long time. And given your lack of credit history, having the collateral of the home is going to keep the costs down in terms of the interest that you'll be paying to take this out and put the solar in. So that would be the direction that I would head as long as you've, you know, done your homework and make sure that you build into your monthly spending plan how you can service the loan. And that way we'll spend as little as possible and hopefully pay off as quickly as possible this loan to put the solar in. Does that make sense?
It does. And my initial thought was to make double payments.
Yeah.
That way I get out of it as quickly as possible.
I love it. I love it. That's a great idea. Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Lord bless you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate that. And Rob West, we are out of time. Thanks so much. We'll come back and do it again, all right?
Very good.
Thanks. You've been listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. My thanks to our technical staff and crew, Rich Rosel, Jim Henry. Amy's been with us today, Judy, and an entire cast of characters in Chicago. We're glad that you were there listening. MoneyWise Live is a co-production of MoneyWise and Moody Radio. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you'll join us again next time.